and begin to help us lean more into this Youth Sunday. Shauna?
Good morning. So one of the things I get to do in our congregation is I get to help oversee our children's ministry. And so this morning, we want to share a little bit about what we've been learning together, the K through 5. And so I want to invite all the kids to come up with me up here. And you can sit on the steps. I know you would like the microphone, but I can't give it to you right now. So you have to sit right here, buddy, okay? Come on up. So one thing that we're doing in our new curriculum called Dig In is we're learning about the heart of God. And we have some amazing teachers who have been teaching these kids about God's heart of love for them and who he is. Hey, bud, can you sit right there for me, please? You want to hold on to me? All right. So one thing we want to share is each month they have a memory verse that they have been learning, and we have Caleb who's going to share it with us first, and then we'll see if all the other kids want to join in with him after that, okay? So Caleb, you want to stand up and share?
Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Isaiah 40:28.
Will you lead us again, and we're going to do it all together? You guys want to say it together with Caleb? Okay. No? Okay, we'll say it one more time. If anyone wants to join in,
Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Isaiah 40:28.
Thank you so much. Let's give Caleb a hand. So kids, since we've been telling all the adults in the room a little bit about what you've been learning, I want us to learn a little bit about what the adults have been learning. Would that be okay? And guess what? It's going to be in a cartoon. Do we like cartoons? Okay, so we're going to start out. Someone's coming to get you. All right. So if you guys want to turn around or stand up, we're all going to watch a video to learn about what the big kids have been learning in here, the adults, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. Okay.
God's story, the Sermon on the Mount. So part of God's story is about a sermon Jesus gave on the side of a mountain and what he did afterwards. And it goes like this. One day, when Jesus saw crowds gathering to hear him teach or see him do miracles, he went to the side of a mountain. It was near the Sea of Galilee, across from a place called Capernaum. From there, he gave a message all about God's kingdom and his love. We call this message the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus started by explaining who would get blessings or favor from God. He said the most blessed people are those who are poor, sad, or humble. He said God shows favor to people who are just or treat others fairly, and people who are merciful or show love to those who don't deserve it. He said the people who are pure, who bring peace, or who get hurt for doing right will be rewarded for their actions in heaven. In other words, the people who love others, even when it makes them seem weak or unimportant on earth, are like heroes in God's kingdom. Anyway, Jesus went on to explain that when we believe in and follow him, it's our job to show everyone else who he is by loving them. That means going out of our way not only to comfort and help our friends, but also forgive people who hurt us, love our enemies, and give to people in need. The thing is, Jesus didn't just talk about love, he showed it all the time. In fact, right after giving this sermon, Jesus spent the rest of the day helping everyone he met. First, as Jesus came down from the mountain, a man with a skin disease called leprosy knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Usually, no one wanted to be around people with leprosy, but Jesus touched him and said, "I am willing. Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then, when Jesus arrived in Capernaum a bit later, a soldier said to him, "Lord, my servant is in terrible pain." Right away, Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The officer said, "Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Jesus told him, "Because you believed, it has happened." The officer's servant was healed. A little later, Jesus arrived at his disciple Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was there too, sick in bed with a high fever. Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left. Later that evening, many other people who were demon-possessed or sick came to see Jesus. He brought relief to all of them. At the end of the day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm came out of nowhere. Waves began crashing into the boat. The disciples realized that even though they were in the middle of a giant storm, Jesus was fast asleep. They shouted, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he told the wind and waves to stop. They did. That day, Jesus taught a lot of people how to love and showed them what love looks like. Whenever somebody took their sickness or pain or fear to Jesus, he helped them. Everybody who met Jesus got to experience his love. And when we love like Jesus, everyone who meets us can feel his love too. And that's the story of the Sermon on the Mount. So, in case you missed it.
Wow. Jesus is pretty amazing, isn't he? I would really love to be able to love people like Jesus did. And so that's what we've been talking about. And here we've been learning about the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're going to talk about a really specific teaching that Jesus gave when he was up on the mountainside teaching to the people. But before we do, I feel like we need to take a snack break. Did you know that in here during the worship service, the adults don't have a snack break? What's up with that? I don't know. But since you all are used to having a snack every week, I brought one for you, okay? Can you sit? And I'll give you one, okay? Sit down. Thank you. All right, here we go. Sorry, adults, we've only got enough for the kids. I know that's a bummer. So, what kind of snack do we have here, guys? Pretzel sticks? What is it about pretzel sticks that makes them so tasty? The salt? They're extra salty. Do you think they would be good if they didn't have salt on them? Nolan is just preaching my sermon already. Thank you, Nolan. I did not prep him, I promise. So, Jesus, when he was up on the mountainside talking to people, he actually taught them something about salt. So, that's why I brought you a salty snack. So, we're going to read a little bit about what Jesus said. Emmy, do you want to read for us? Can I hold your pretzels? All right.
Salt and light. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning. And that brings God's flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste in godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. If you're here to be light, bringing out the God God colors in the world, God is not a secret to be kept. We are going to be public with this. A public is a city on a hill. If you make the light brighter barriers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting on a light stand and that we've put on the hilltop. On a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up others. You'll prompt people to open up with God and generous Father in heaven.
Thank you, Emmy. So Jesus was saying that we are like salt seasoning that brings out God's flavors in the earth. And in Jesus's time, salt was not only important for making things taste better, but they didn't have any refrigerators. So they also had to use it to keep their food fresh. And then, so that was one picture that Jesus used to tell us what we're to be like when we're like Jesus in the world. And another picture he gave, did anybody catch what it was? He said we're to be like a city on a hill, like a bright light. Do you guys know that song about being a light? No. Yeah, this little light of mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. We know that one, right? So, and we would never hide it under a bushel. No way. We're gonna let it shine. So that's what Jesus was saying, that he wants to put us up on a stand because we shine so brightly for him. And did you know that last summer I got to go to that lake where Jesus was, the Sea of Galilee, with his disciples? And one of my favorite things about it is that at night we sat next to the sea, and across the Sea of Galilee, you can see in the distance the city on a hill, and the lights were amazing, and they would reflect off of the water, and all your eyes were drawn there, and you wanted to go there. And this is an example. This is not my picture. The picture I took were not so good, but this is a beautiful example of what it looks like. So the people, especially in Jesus's day, when they didn't have electricity, and they may have been out in the wilderness, if they were trying to find their way home, they could see that city on the hill, the bright light that they could go towards to find their way to where they can find life and light. And that's what we're to be like to other people in the world. We're to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You guys look like you're enjoying those pretzels. So we started out our the message today for the adults, and we're going to let Bill and the youth come up and finish. And I have a coloring page for you to take back with you, and you can also grab some water if you are thirsty from all that salt, okay?
Thank you very much. Well done, well done. Sneak through here. You guys really did help us get started today. Almost, we could almost stop now, but as Shauna said, there's a few more folks that are going to help us out today. And I just want to put some put that scripture back up on the wall behind me, and let's look at it together. This is a different version than what Emmy read for us, but let's read it together. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Let's keep going. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Such a simple few sentences from Jesus that have so much importance for us. If you can go back to that first verse there, you are the salt of the earth. As Shauna and the kids were describing for us, salt played then and plays a huge role even still today in our lives and our culture. And in those days, as Jesus was communicating this, salt was a really, really big deal. Shauna said they didn't have refrigerators or freezers as such, and so they used salt to cure meats and to preserve things, to keep them around, to make them last longer. Salt was also important, like it is today, to make things taste better. One of the things that's interesting about salt that I've learned from some of my friends is that salt does impart a little bit of taste, but really what it helps is to bring out the flavor that's already there, which is a kind of an interesting thing when we think about who we are, the salt of the earth, that we are to be an agent that brings out what's already here in the world, what's already a part of creation. And I love that imagery. I love that idea that the image of God is already in all of us based on just being created, being made. And it's a powerful thing to think about how we can encourage that image to be brought out of each other and of our friends and our neighbors. So salt's a preservative, so it protects and saves things. Salt enhances the flavor and brings out what's already in it. Salt was used as a currency back in the day, like all over the place. And so you could trade salt for things. Salt was even such an important commodity that it was often used in sacrifices amongst the various religions of the Near East of the time. And so it was a preservative. It brought out what was already the flavors that were already there. It was a currency. It could be traded salt for something else. And it was used in sacrifices. And I think about those characteristics of salt that Jesus is talking about. And I think, man, that kind of describes him, right? He's a preservative, right? He's a currency. He traded himself, right, for us, for our position, our relationship with God. He brings out the image of God in us. He kind of helps us understand what it means to be as we were originally created to be. And of course, he gave himself as a sacrifice. So when Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, He's basically saying, and I've demonstrated it for you, like the cartoon said. He didn't just talk about it. He went out and he showed it. And similarly with the light, right? This idea of light shining in the darkness. There's this great text, again, in Isaiah. We typically read it during the Christmas time the paraphrase. We have this sense that those who have been stumbling around in the dark, behold, to them a light has come, right? For those that have been mourning in the darkness of night, metaphorically speaking, behold, a new dawn, a new way of life has arrived. And of course, that is a prophecy about Jesus. And here, again, these two things, salt and light, that he says we are, his disciples are. He's saying this full well knowing that he is those things. And they do too. He is the fulfillment of these prophecies that they've been hearing about. So I want to say this, and then we're going to have some of our friends come up and share with us. I want to say this, that Jesus is teaching all that we've kind of connected with before in this series, where we kind of came down through the Beatitudes, the introduction, so to speak, of this sermon. All of these things that he says about us and who we are to be as his followers, what he says about us as being salt and light, these aren't just like moral codes for us to be good people, for us to know if we're good enough. These aren't just moral codes, but they are ways for us to actually be like him. These are ways for us actually to usher in the kingdom of heaven to the people around us, starting with ourselves and our households and our neighborhoods and the places we work and our communities. We are to bring the kingdom of heaven in reality to the people around us. So, there's plenty of folks in our community that do that, and we've asked some of our teens to tell us about them. There's a microphone. If you are coming forward to share, why don't you come forward now? One, two, three, four. And what I've asked them to share is to tell us who has been salt and light to them. Tell us generally why they think that's so, and give us a specific, for instance, where someone has been salty or lighty, right? So the microphone is on, since you're here. Tell us who you are first, and then tell us about your person.
Hi, I'm Kayla Seelan. As some of you may know, over the past summer, I've moved from Maryland to Ashland, Ohio. Now, when it comes to moving, there's many things that happen, like new communities, new schools, making new friends, leaving many people. And at my previous church and school, I had a group of friends that I cherished greatly, and I didn't know how I was going to be able to find people like them here. Well, I want to tell you about one of my new friends named Lydia Wells. Lydia has welcomed me greatly into the school community, more than I could have ever asked for. She's been super nice, super kind, has asked me if there's anything I need help with or if there's anything I'm confused on. She's checked on me if it's just been kind of a stressful day. And she has reminded me how, even as youth, you can be salt and light of God to anyone and everyone.
Hi, I'm Madeline Boyd, and the person in my life is my big brother, Matthew. I've had trouble with friends, and he's just always been there for me. I love my brother so much, and I've been abandoned by so many people, especially in eighth grade. He's never left my side, and I just love him so much. It was really hard whenever he left for college because I felt like my support just left me. But I know he's still here, and I just talk to him most of the time. And it's always fun whenever he comes home or we go down and see him at Ohio University. So he's just the light of my life, and I love him so much.
Hi, my name is Emily Ludwig, for those of you who don't know me. My person is my friend Abby. She has been with me through thick and thin, and she is a constant in my life when it seems like nothing else can be a constant. She writes me handwritten notes when I ignore her and don't answer her texts or calls. So she's always there even when I try to isolate myself and push her away.
My name is Andre Harrison, and my person is my mentor, Christian Langston. And when I started middle school, I had some trouble with friends, and I talked to him about it, and I was like, he was like, are these friends gonna pull you down in life and go the right path, or are these friends gonna put you upright in the right path in life? And I thought, well, I want to go the right path. So I had to pick some new friends, and now I'm doing great with new friends that are leading me to the right path. And some of the things that I do with him is devotionals, and we talk about Bibles and chapters and stuff and learn about Jesus. And if I have problems or stuff, we talk about it and how I get through it, and yeah.
Thank you all of you. We appreciate you teaching us today what it looks like in your lives to be the recipient of someone who makes that difference, be the person that is blessed by someone being salt and light, so thank you for that. You guys, give them a round of applause again as they take their seats. We don't need today to drag this out very much because the children have made excellent points for us, haven't they? And I think I started off saying that these are very simple sentences that are delivered to us, but they're very profound and they're very powerful. And I hope that you have caught this from what the teens just shared and what the kids were experiencing earlier, that what Jesus is teaching here isn't just about being good. It's not just about being like in the club, being in the Jesus club. It's not just about avoiding trouble or getting a get out of hell free ticket. You know, it's not just about any of those things. It is exactly about the kingdom of heaven. It's the thing that Jesus talked about. Like the most. It's what he said he was here to bring. It's what he said he was here to like permanently reestablish here in broken, fallen creation. And he says here to us, his disciples, be like me. Like I'm the one bringing this, and now you are going to bring it to the world around you. And I want you to catch that. I don't know how many times someone said that to me or I read that before it landed. That this is the point of my going to church on Sunday. This is the point of my connecting in small groups. This is the point of me going and serving in places or serving people that need help in some way. This is the point, not to be good, not to have an adventure, not to have an experience, but to bring the kingdom of heaven in reality to the people around me. We are to be people whose very lives make it possible for others to see the kingdom. We are to be people whose very lives make it possible for others to experience the kingdom. And it goes beyond moral influence, what it means to be a good person. We must see our behavior, all of it, as rooted in the very mission of God. In the midst of the series we've been talking about, this Sermon on the Mount, we keep looping back to this idea that it all begins for Jesus with this idea that God is making all things new. And it seems, based on how Jesus operated, his behavior, it seems as if that wasn't the thing that he was hoping for someday. You get this? Like we even saw it in the cartoon. He didn't just talk about someday. Someday you'll be healed. Someday you'll be forgiven. Someday you'll be rejoined to community. Someday. He didn't talk about it like that. In fact, in the grammar of the Beatitudes, and so far in the series we've been in, only a couple of parts of it have been in the future tense. Everything else has been present tense right now. The kingdom of heaven is now. Our ability to experience it is now. Eternity is now. Salt that isn't salty and light that is covered up are both quite useless, as the scripture says. And if we look at that text, there's like a couple of warnings there, right? Especially for the not salty folks. For lives that aren't currency being traded for something else, for lives that don't have small acts of sacrificial love giving to others, for lives that aren't somehow a preservative to the people around them, for lives that somehow don't bring out the image of God and the life of the kingdom of heaven in others, Jesus says, if you're not salty, you're basically gonna get like tossed on the roadside. Road grit. Like traction control is essentially what our lives become if we are not salty. And so, as we sort of continue in this journey through the Sermon on the Mount over the next few more weeks, I want you to take what we were wrestling with over the last several weeks with the Beatitudes and hold on to those ideas as we walk through where Jesus gives specific examples of real life things to wrestle with how to be salt and light. And so I just want to invite the band back up. As we close today, I want you to hear sort of the encouragement of Jesus. There's this word that often we encounter in church world. It's exhortation. It's sort of encouragement, but it's a little heavier handed than that. It's like a, come on, be this, do this, right? So hear the exhortation to be salty. On purpose, right? You salt the earth. You light the darkness. I think it's an amazing thing that our kids are catching that. You heard from our teens about people in their lives that are doing that, and I am here to encourage and exhort you to be salt and light as well. Amen? Let me pray. God, we're thankful for the energy and the sounds of our children being present here in the room with us. I am. God, you talk about us as being your family, and what a great picture it is for us all to be gathered around your table this morning. Even no kids' table, we're all here at the big table. God, I'm grateful for that and for this experience, and grateful for what you're doing, Jesus, in the hearts and in the lives and in the minds of our kids. God, we pray for a bigger taste of that in the here and now. God, we pray for a bigger vision for what it is that you're doing, for what it is that you're saying, that we can do those things too and speak, God, your love and your life as well. So God, continue to pour into us through your word. God, continue to minister us in your spirit, bringing us wisdom where we lack it. God, nudging us, guiding us, even giving us a kick in the pants when we need it. God, convict us of where we need to be salty, where we can be more light. God, we pray for these things, not because we're afraid, but God, because we want this life that we keep hearing you talk about in your word. So pour it out on us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.